Welcome, everybody, to the Full Count. I am your host, Abi S. Yeezus, with my co-host, Brian Malone. And we're all in shock right now.
Yeah.
So we had a show layout, but I guess we just go ahead and get to it. I mean, we were going to talk about our top trade, but I don't see how anybody could say that the top trade wasn't what just happened, which is maybe about 30 minutes ago. The Washington Nationals traded Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Los Angeles Dodgers for a host of prospects, but none of which seem to really amount to anything with these trades. So,
and none of them are, I mean, it's not like they're getting, you know, one of the top 10 prospects.
Yeah. Right,
they're not getting a guy who's ready right now. They're not getting a Wander Franco.
Yeah. The Dodgers roster now includes 6 MVP award winners. Albert Pujols has 3, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, and Clayton Kershaw. They all have 1 apiece. 7 Cy Youngs. Kershaw, Scherzer has 3, David Price has 1, and if you count Bauer, that's insane.
Yeah, like we talked about before we even started the show, the crazier thing is they got Danny Duffy for nothing.
And I would assume people, like the people who listen to the show, probably know Duffy if they're avid baseball fans. But if you're not an avid baseball fan, Danny Duffy is pretty much the prized possession left from that 2015 pitching staff that won the World Series. And I guess the offense of equal to that would be Salvador Perez for them. So Duffy and Perez are like the two guys that were left from that championship team. Duffy's ERA is under 3, and the Dodgers acquired him with cash. With cash. Didn't trade anybody. A player to be named later, and I put air quotes around that because that's usually bullshit. But either way, they just paid cash. I mean, and he's injured, but like the injury ain't that bad. He'll be back at the end of August and be fresh. And one of the things that caught my eye when they picked him up is that he's a guy who can come out the bullpen, and he's got postseason experience, and that's probably what they picked him up for.
No, and I think, I mean, honestly, I don't think there's a way that anybody can even top this trade anymore now either, because Scherzer was the top available pitcher.
Yeah.
And then they also got Trey Turner, who's an all-star.
Yeah,
like I just don't see how, and like I said, they didn't give up, you know, one of the top 10, 15 prospects in baseball. The Nats aren't getting somebody who's going to play foreseeably for the next year or two, really. Like, you're not going to see any of these guys in this trade for at least 2 years. So for it to work out like this, with like, I just don't see how some other teams can get wins out of this, but they're like, I just don't see how you could top what the Dodgers did today.
Yeah, I didn't go through the liberty of looking up the rankings of these players in their farm system. But I mean, I'm so used to the Dodgers making trades with prospects, but they're not top tier prospects that I just like, what's the point? They're probably not in their top 15, and you just got Max Scherzer, who's still got plenty of good years left, and Trey Turner. I mean, Trey might be the real gem in this, because with the injury to Mookie Betts and everything, there's no telling when he'll come back, and you get a guy who is batting on the season, he's batting .322 with 18 home runs, 49 RBIs, he's stolen 21 bags, and he's got 125 hits so far. And he's only, how old is he? He's only 28? Yeah, he's 28. That's crazy. I didn't know he was that old. I thought he was younger than that. But either way, he's under 30.
Right.
He's under 30. And I mean,
so I'm looking at it, and they did give the Nationals their top two prospects.
Okay.
Plus number 17. And the other guy's not in their top 30. So, I mean, they did give them their top two, but I don't know. I've never really seen either one of them play. Not sure how good they are.
I mean, all right, so on the surface, I'm just going to, we could just say that the Nationals just got hosed, but we'll see. We'll see how the prospects turn out. I mean, giving up Trey is a lot, man.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like to get not only Scherzer, but Trey Turner as well. Like we said, a guy who's not even 30 years old, who's a multi-time All-Star, who's one of the fastest guys in the league. Like, yeah. It's a lot to give up.
He's got 8 home runs in his last 30 games. He's batting 360. In his last 30 games, he's got 8 home runs. He's batting 367. He's got 18 RBIs. And
how many stolen bases?
And 8 stolen bases. Like, I mean,
yeah.
You can't quantify how good a guy with this kind of talent leading off your lineup can be. And when you can you could pick your poison in this Dodgers lineup, who you want to throw behind them. But I mean, like I said, that to me is really the indicator. He's 28. He bats 300 for his career still.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
he's been in the league since 2004. He got drafted in 2014. You're 7 years later. He's still batting 300.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and I think honestly, part of the reason why the Nationals did it was because they figured if they dealt Scherzer and they moved on from some other guys, they might not be able to re-sign him, so they might as well trade him now. But it's why did the Dodgers? You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody else is thinking the same thing, unless you're a Dodgers fan. Like on paper, which I know paper doesn't win you championships, but that team is, I mean, that's about as loaded of a lineup as you can get.
Yeah, and you know, if we're gonna really break down the lineup, let's see the starting lineup for the Dodgers today.
They said Trey Turner is gonna play second.
I would assume he's gonna play second when Seager comes back.
Yeah, they said Seager will be back in the next few days, and Turner will play second.
Yeah, and I've seen him play second and move around, so that's not too crazy. But so today they had Chris Taylor batting first, Max Muncy batting second, Cody Bellinger, AJ Pollock, Albert Pujols, Billy McKinney. Austin Barnes was in there. Now, mind you, they're missing Mookie Betts, and they're missing, I was about to call him Kyle, Corey Seager, and they're missing Will Smith. Looks like he took the day off today. So that's 3 bats that you can add in. So you can take Chris Taylor out, you can take Austin Barnes out, and you can take Albert Pujols out too, probably, and Cody would go to first, maybe. I don't know, but you could keep Pujols in. It all depends. But that is a formidable lineup, man, top to bottom. Dodgers are 3 games out of first place in their division, still trailing the San Francisco Giants.
I think the other big thing is all 3 of them have postseason success. All 3 of them have played in World Series and won World Series.
Yeah. Yep. And that's going to be huge for a team that's going to be under a lot of pressure, because their World Series is regarded as an asterisk by most people.
Well, I think that's why they pressed so hard to make this deal, because they saw, especially once the Padres were, you know, the reported deal for Scherzer. I think that's why they came and did this, because they feel that pressure. They do feel that pressure to win a legitimate 162 game season World Series.
Yep. And you also got to look at the fact that they've got a lot of injuries in their pitching staff too. So, and if they get Trevor Bauer back, You're gonna have a lineup.
Like, yeah, you're looking at a rotation with you know, Kershaw, Bauer, Scherzer, Bueller.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like I said earlier, that lineup's as good as it gets, and then you look at that rotation as well. I think that's why a lot of people were shocked and maybe a little bit frustrated by the move, because on paper, this is one of the best teams I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Danny Duffy being their fifth starter now. I mean,
yeah.
Because
I would say the versatility that you see, even with the pitching staff, because Urias can go back to the bullpen if needed. Gosselin can go back to the bullpen if needed. And those are two pretty good.
Duffy's got the ability to go into the bullpen.
Yeah. And those are two really good arms. So, yeah. As somebody said, the rich just keep getting richer. I hate the Dodgers with all my heart. They're probably the only team that I might hate more than I hate the Yankees. And the Yankees are down right now, so there's no reason to really, like, you know, stick it to them. I've had my fill of kicking the Yankees. But the Dodgers, man, like, it's just something about it. Maybe it's because they're in my league, because I'm a National League fan, but I just cannot stand this team, the organization. The only person I liked was my man Vin Scully. And that was it. Everybody else could kick rocks. But I could listen to Vin Scully all night, man. But at this point, if they don't win it this year, I mean, we say this about a lot of teams, but I'll say it, and I fully mean it. If they don't win it this year, like, it's a stain on Kershaw's career, man. Like, this should be a easy ring as long as everybody stays healthy. And people are going to come back healthy within the next month. So you're going to be ready to make a postseason run.
Yeah, no, it should. I mean, like I said, this is one of the best teams I've seen in a long time. Like, in a long, long time. This pitching staff, I mean, if you're really looking at it, I don't think they'll be together for as long, and they haven't proven to be as healthy, but like, the only thing comparable in the last 30 years really was the Braves with Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox. Like,
yeah,
I mean, when you're really talking about how good these guys are, like, you've got Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer, and it's just like you're stacking up some of the best pitchers in the league. You know, like I said, if Trevor Bauer comes back, like, and then you've got Walker Buehler and Urias, and it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, and the way that the trade went down is, like, it's really shocking. Like, I was telling Brian before we got on, like, I'm on the CBS Sports website, and they're still running round-the-clock loops of the Padres getting Max Scherzer, because up until 5 o'clock today, like, that was all that was reported. Like, Ken Rosenthal reported it, and he's basically Woj for baseball. So if he says it, it's 99.9% likely to happen. And the deal was all but done, apparently. And here come the Dodgers somehow. So honorable
mention. Right, because the thing I heard was that they were just waiting on Scherzer.
Yeah.
They'd already discussed players. And everybody was just waiting on Scherzer to say yes.
So honorable mention goes to the Tampa Bay Rays. They acquired Nelson Cruz on July 22nd. Has been a big boost for their offense. Should remain a big boost for their offense. The San Diego Padres, I thought, got a little sneaky play when they picked up Adam Frazier from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then I guess you could say Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero going to the Houston Astros is kind of a decent pickup, because they do need some bullpen help.
But I think just to knock the Rays a little bit, they also traded away the.
Yeah. And then the Oakland Athletics got Starlin Marte from the Marlins. Yep, that's a decent pickup for them. And more so because if you could just really plant a guy in your lineup, or in that particular lineup, that you could depend to get on base consistently, it's going to do wonders for them.
Then there's the Yankees moves that they made, and I think that's the one. I'm not a huge fan of the moves they made, but I do think that's the one positive, is that Rizzo and Gallo at least are high, you know, on base percentage guys. So at least they're going to get on base, and their left-handed bats playing in Yankee Stadium, which has been proven to boost left-handed bats. But I still, I mean, you look at Joey Gallo, who's like a career 212 hitter or something like that, and Anthony Rizzo, who's definitely past his prime. And then you're looking at a team who the main reason they're in the situation they're in is they can't pitch.
Yes.
They can't pitch. And so I think just go out. And like, I'm even reading rumors earlier, you know, before the show, like reading up on stuff in there. They're still talking about the Yankees are interested in Story and the Yankees are interested in other hitters. And I'm just like, why? Why all the bats? It makes no sense. I don't know why Cashman doesn't want to go out and trade for a pitcher.
I'm confused as to what Cashman's end game is. It's like you can tell that he's literally got nobody there to tell him what to do. There's just no way the boss would let this roll, man. Like, Gerrit Cole's ERA since All-Star break is 6. It's over 6.
I fully believe it's probably true. He had the one game. I was joking a little bit, but it could possibly, you know, he had the one good game, and it was against Houston. Mm-hmm. And like, as I was joking with you earlier, like, he probably was using the sticky stuff for that game because Houston can't call anybody out for cheating.
Yeah, they can't. They can't. But he's
and
got
all the rest of the games. You know what I mean? He couldn't use it because he knew he could have gotten called out. But that was like his one game. He's like, all right, I can get him this game.
Yeah, he's been awful, man. Like, just awful. And I was talking to a Yankee fan in the group, and he was talking about how they were like ranked 11th in pitching. And I'm like, bro, your pitching staff is trending down. Like, we could talk about this in a month. You will not be 11th in a month. But yeah, July 10th, he pitched against the Astros, and he was in Houston. He went the full 9. He gave up 3 hits, no earned runs. The game before that, on the 4th, he pitched against the Mets. He gave up 4 runs. Then he went to Boston after the Astros game, and he went 6 innings, gave up 5 hits, but only 1 run. And then he played Boston again a week later, July 23rd. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. And then today, he went to Tampa, and he gave up 7 runs on 8 hits. In five and a third. Yeah. That is crazy. And the one thing about Yankees,
like, we talked about, I think, like, we talked about mm-hmm. a couple of shows ago, even like, and it's kind of scares me. Like, he could be Pittsburgh Gerrit Cole again. And Pittsburgh Gerrit Cole is not worth $300 million. Not even close.
And Pittsburgh Gerrit Cole got rocked a lot with right. hard hits. And he was in a pitcher friendly ballpark, and his ERA was still roughly high 3s, sometimes 4.
He was an inning eater who could strike guys out, but he also left a lot of balls over the plate.
Yep. And one of the concerning things right now with the entire Yankee staff is that people are like, the slugging percentage, the power numbers against the Yankees pitching is too high. It's probably top third in the league with, you know, for opponents. And the Yankees are not scoring runs like they usually do. So you really get exposed when you don't have that run support. And so I think, I'm not sure if Cashman is thinking, I just need more runs, that the pitching will be fine if we just score more runs. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I mean, hey.
I mean, the bullpen is good. It's probably the top third of the league bullpen. I wouldn't say it's, you know, one of the top bullpens in the league, but mm-hmm. they're a good bullpen. But the starting rotation is just really bad, especially, like I said, with the way Cole's been pitching right now, because he was the one, like, in the beginning of the season and last year, he was the one shining, you know, thing about the pitching staff. Like, you could count on Gerrit Cole to go out there and give you a good start every 5 games. If you can't count on that now, like, I just don't know how they're going to win a lot of games. Like, I just don't see this team making a run and getting back into anything.
Is there anybody, because you're a Yankee fan, is there anybody left from a pitching perspective that you would like to see them go after?
I mean, I think if one of the Cubs guys is available still, either Kyle Hendricks, Zach Davies, you know, somebody like that from Chicago, if they're available. Honestly, outside of those two, I mean, I'd really just, at this point, I'll take anything. Like, I think you might be able to pluck one of those guys out of Detroit, maybe Boyd or something like that out of Detroit, but I just don't, I mean, those aren't amazing additions that are going to take you to a championship. And I think that's part of the issue is that they have kind of dismissed starting pitching and not have just dismissed it. They've made, actually, I take that back. They haven't dismissed it. They've made a ton of moves and they've had a ton of injuries and a ton of failed free agent signings and trade signings, like, or trades that, you know, you can go all the way back to like just starting since they won their last World Series. You look at it, you got Michael Pineda, Luis Severino gets hurt again and again and again. Tanaka got hurt a lot. James Paxton was another failed trade. Like, it's just continual over and over and over again. And I think that's another, maybe might be another part of the reason that Cashman's afraid to make another failed trade for a pitcher.
I mean, he might be afraid, but it's better than picking up these dudes like Kluber in the offseason. I mean,
no, I agree.
So
they've had so many failed pitchers over and over over the years, like especially over the last decade. It's a frustrating thing as a Yankees fan, I'll tell you that.
So the Yankees are in the wild card hunt a little, but I mean there's still a ton of work to do for them. So I would anticipate they're going to make another move. Just not sure who. One of the names that I was going to throw out was Barrios out in Minnesota. And I know he's kind of like up and down a little this year, but even his up and down is still roughly around like 3.2, 3.3 ERA.
And I had actually seen something earlier that said he was heavily – Toronto is actually very interested in him, which I think would be an interesting trade if that happens.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how invested Toronto is at trying to make a late push. Because they were
4.5 games out of the wild card right now.
They picked up Brandon Hand, which will help the bullpen. Need a starter.
I think if you add Berrios to go with Ryu and Robbie Ray, that's a decent 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
With the way their lineup's been hitting this year, Bo Bichette's hitting well. You know, you've got Simeon hitting really well. Vlad Guerrero's doing Vlad Guerrero things. Teoscar Hernandez is an all-star. They could make a push, I think. And I think that if I'm there, the Blue Jays GM, that's the way I look at it. Is that I've got this young lineup. I just acquired Brad Hand to improve my bullpen. You know, I've got 4 all-stars in my lineup. And I need a third starter to pair with 2 guys who are having good seasons for me.
There's also Craig Kimbrel, who could be on the move as well to solidify somebody's bullpen. I actually thought that the Astros would make a run at him. And then in a somewhat sneaky move, the Seattle Mariners, who've been more competitive than I think people wanted to give them credit for, because usually around this time we see them fade, but they're still only 8 games back in their division, which they're not going to win their division, but they've got 55 wins, which if you look at the standings, the only teams better than them are the 3 division leaders, the Red Sox, White Sox, and the Astros, and then the Athletics and the Rays. So they could make a wild card push, and they picked up Diego Castillo. Diego Castillo, who's one of my favorite closers. He came out of Tampa Bay, but he's getting hit a little bit more this year. I think you just, when you get a closer who plays at such a very high level, and he blows more than 2 saves and you're used to him never getting touched, it just kind of makes you think he's falling off. But I mean, he's got incredible pitches, like a lot of movement, hard thrower, can elevate the fastball.
I love Diego Castillo. As I say, I love Diego Castillo too. I just don't understand why they traded Kendall Graveman.
Yeah. I don't understand that either. And the funny thing about that is so was the team. I'm pretty sure picking up Diego Castillo was something that they felt like they had to do, because apparently when they traded Graveman, there was a lot of anger in their locker room and in their clubhouse. And I'm pretty sure it was
traded him to a division rival.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I'm pretty sure it was because you traded him to the team that you're behind 8 games. Right. Like, why would you do that?
It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
So, in actual baseball news, we had a dust up between Amir Garrett and Javier Baez, which seems to happen every 2.5 years. They seem to get into it. If you're not familiar with the situation, let's see, it happened on like around like July 27th, so a couple days ago. Amir Garrett came in. It was a tie game, 5-5. They were at Wrigley. It's the Reds versus the Cubs. And my man Javi Baez was talking trash before he got in the batter's box. He was running his mouth. Like, they've got some legitimate beef. Mm-hmm. And Amir Garrett looked like a hanger. I'm pretty sure the location was supposed to be a little more across the plate, but it was a breaking ball and he hung it. And so Javier Baez hit it over everybody's head, because they're playing kind of shallow to try to keep the runner from scoring. Ball goes over the outfielder's head. Would have been a game winner anyway, just because of the distance. And what could be the most disrespectful walk off in the history of baseball, he literally just walked down the first baseline talking trash and gesturing with his bat. And at some point, he finally touched the bag. But, I mean, he, like, threw his bat in the direction of Amir Garrett. Amir Garrett didn't react. He just kind of picked up the bat and tossed it back. And then he was mouthing to the up a little. But either way, we're back on this new school versus old school. So what's your take on what happened?
I mean, I like it. Like I said, I'm all for the competition, you know, and I'm all for – guys like showing who they are, you know. I think we've talked about this before, like, just, you know, separately, that some of these older unwritten rules of baseball need to just go away, and the guys can take that shit and go somewhere else. Like, it's guys need to be able to have fun when they're out there, and I think especially if you want to sell baseball to the newer generation of fans, they've got to be able to show their personality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Javi Baez stan, so I definitely don't care. And I respect Amir Garrett, man, because Amir Garrett is always down to throw, man, like punches or baseballs. It don't matter to him. I mean, my man tried to fight the entire Pittsburgh Pirate, like the staff, the players, everybody. He just ran over there by himself. He's the emotional guy. He plays hard. Him and Javi got some legitimate beef, probably because they're just in the division together. I mean, at some point, they should just let him go ahead and fight. They could do it off record if they want to. I mean, like, because it does look like it's personal. Like, more so, Amir just gets annoyed with him, and Javi literally wants to fight the dude. So, I mean, I'm cool with them doing it off the record. They ain't got to tell nobody. But at the end of the day, any kind of emotion like that is good for baseball, you know. And it was at the end of the game. It wasn't like it was, like, in the middle of the game or anything like that. And Amir got his parting shot, basically saying, you know, they're in fourth place, so they're going to react like that when anything happens that's positive. So the Reds are also in the news for our boy Joey Votto, who, I don't know why he's not raising more alarms, has homered in 6 straight games, has 7 home runs in his last 5 games. And when he was talking about it today, somebody asked him, you know, what's changed? And he was like, well, I'm starting to try to hit home runs. And he's always been vocal about how he didn't want to paint himself as a power hitter. He's always taken pride in his technique of being a contact hitter. So what's your take on Joey Votto? And could this potentially boost the Reds into a wild card spot?
I mean, it's definitely something that I think a lot of people – don't understand, like, don't really know baseball, don't understand about baseball. that, you know, like they hear the words launch angle and things like that all the time, but they don't really understand what they mean. And I think this is a good example of, you know, what that means, like hand placement. You know, like you said, like I said, launch angle, all these kind of things go into the trajectory of the ball. And I think, like I said, Joey Votto's making a very good, you know, experiment right in front of everybody's eyes that you can see of these different changes that the sport has gone through.
Yeah, he's always been the technician at the plate. And, you know, he's also always played in a hitter friendly park, but I'm okay with what he's doing. I'm not totally shocked. I know in times past people would have been like, he's on steroids, especially with him being 37, but again, he's never been shy about his approach to the game and how if he wanted to hit more home runs he could. And considering how Suarez has been batting for them, it's probably best that he stays like that.
That's the thing, like a lot of guys, I mean, there's all these stories about Ichiro, you know what I mean, back in the day, where, like, when he came over to Seattle, he was just hitting singles, and they were like, oh, that's all you can do, and then he blasted the next, you know, 10 pitches into the seats, and he's like, no, but I just don't, you know, if I did that all the time, I'd hit, you know, 250, he's like, I want to hit 350, which he did. So it's just like you said, it's like I said earlier, it's all about guys' approach, and what they want to do at the plate.
Yeah. So in the expansion era, so Joey Votto's last 8 hits have been home runs. In the expansion era, which is basically after 1961, that is tied for the second longest such streak, behind 2015 Lucas Duda, 2008 Marcus Thames. I think I said it right. And then 1995, one of my personal favorite, Albert Bell. The record in this span is actually 11, held by none other than Big Mac Mark McGwire in 2001, which we can all assume he was definitely juicing, because this man played back in the 80s and he's hitting home runs like that in 2001.
But it was great. Like, I'll never forget that home run derby at Fenway when he was hitting them out into the street.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, and like as a kid, you know what I mean? I had no idea, but I'm sure like my dad was probably watching this shit. Like, what the hell's going on here? This dude's definitely on steroids, you know?
Yeah, and I won't slander Mark McGwire too much, because as a hitting coach, he has some pretty good success. So I mean, you gotta respect the guy that can teach people how to hit.
Without Barry Bonds, a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I think that's the most not to get too deep into
era of baseball is like.
Didn't even need it. Most of them didn't even need it.
Yep. So I guess we can, because I had a whole layout and the Dodgers had to come and ruin it. What team can you think of off the top of your head right now where the trajectory of that team has changed in your mind because of trades that they made or didn't make?
I think besides the Dodgers deal, I think the biggest thing to me from this day
that over for the Cubs and the Nationals, and the front office has decided it's over, and they decided to move their biggest pieces from two teams that are in the last 5 years World Series champions.
I think that's
because, like I said, everybody can just say the Dodgers, but I think besides that. That's the biggest thing you
do. Yeah, the Cubs giving up is kind of surprising to me, considering, especially in that division, we've always had somebody make a run. But they are 4 games under 500. I would say, to me, I'm going to go with the Padres, with the rumors that Eric Hosmer might be on the trade market. And then the fact that they were not able to get Max Scherzer, they were not able to get anybody except for Adam Frazier, and they need help in their starting pitching as well. But also, I feel like they need just one more like consistent hitter, somebody with some speed. You know, I honestly,
like if they had been the ones to trade for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, if that had to happen for them, then I would have definitely boosted them. But I'm just a little concerned when they're six games out of first place. You gotta expect, like I said, the Giants are probably gonna maintain a top two spot. The Dodgers, you gotta expect to really get a boost. So the Padres are fighting for a wild card, but. Like what are we gonna get with that wild card? Because you essentially only have one pitcher right now that you can truly trust in the series.
And it's like we talked about last time. You know, when we did our most disappointing pitchers from the first half, you mentioned Blake Snell, and I think Chris Paddock's another one. Like two guys who they expected to pitch really well this year, who have really let them down.
Yeah. And it ain't getting no better, unfortunately. But when you got a player like Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado is coming around as well, or in that little groove where he's been consistent too. And I think Cronenworth has been balling for them as well. The bats are there. They you're not going to win a World Series on bats. I'll put it that way. You're not going to make it far in the playoffs on just bats. Like bats bats typically wane as the season goes on, especially.
That's why those late 90s Rockies teams never won a World Series.
Yeah. And so I'm harping on the pitching because I know that in this particular era, over the last 15 years for sure, like you could go back to when the Red Sox won their World Series, David Ortiz coming in clutch and things like that. But a lot of people don't realize that those runs were like those games were like three runs or four runs. It wasn't like they were like shootouts. They were pitching duels and the guy came up clutch, you know.
No, I think bullpen is a big like we talked about, like that's a big thing for the Dodgers. It's not just bullpen, but versatility out of your bullpen. Mm-hmm. Guys who can come in and give you multiple innings, lefties, righties, you know, guys who can mix speeds really well. And I think that's a big part of what the Dodgers did today, is that they were able to create more versatility in their pitching staff.
I'm praying that we catch the Mets, but I'm not sure if we got it in us to do it. But I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in them, too. They've got a lot of pitching injuries. I'm talking a lot of pitching injuries. To the point where I'm not sure anybody outside of Walker is in their starting rotation that started at the beginning of the year. Stroman's in there too. So Walker and Stroman are like the only two pitchers that really were on the staff at opening day. Like they've just had to do some patchwork, man. They put out Eckhoff the day before yesterday, I think, against the Braves, and the guy gave up like seven runs in the first three innings, and the bullpen and staff is so depleted they had to just leave him out there to dry for another four innings. I felt awful for him because I'm like, they can't be good for your mental, man. You're getting blasted, you already given up seven runs in three innings, and then you look over and there's nobody in the bullpen, nobody on the phone, and you're still getting blasted. Like you essentially just gotta wait it out. So that's going to be a concern of mine going down the stretch. Like a team like the Phillies or even the Braves, they're only like 3 to 4 games out of first place. Like if you get a team that's got a tired bullpen or winding up with like dead arms, or they got to keep rolling out these guys.
So they're getting Carrasco. They're getting Carrasco back Friday.
Uh huh.
So that'll be a boost for the Mets. They get Carlos Carrasco back Friday. Syndergaard is actually supposed to come back in September. I don't know what they're going to get from him coming off of Tommy John, but we'll see. I mean, if he can give them anything, I think that'll be a boost to what you're talking about now, a tired Mets pitching staff. And then we'll see. If they can get DeGrom back, then I think it's probably over.
Yeah, and I'd be shocked if they get a lot from our guy Syndergaard. So before we roll out, as a Yankee fan, I gotta get your opinion and also probably let you eulogize him. But looks like Terry Francona might be done. He's done for the year for sure, but he's focusing on his health, and I know he's I think he had cancer or something in the past. So there's concern that this literally might be it. I mean, the Indians are not going to make the playoffs, and they're probably going to – well, sorry, the Guardians are not going to make the playoffs. And so they're going to probably end up moving on, moving away from Terry Francona. As a Yankee fan and a baseball lover, like, what is Terry Francona's place in history?
I mean, as a Yankee fan, I'm not the biggest Terry Francona fan, but I'm also, as a baseball fan, I'm not the biggest Terry Francona hater. I think anybody who really watches baseball and knows baseball can see that he did a really good job with Cleveland. Just with his ability to mix and match guys in the lineup, understanding, you know, how guys hit against lefties and righties. You know, the same kind of things that we praise Joe Maddon for, the kind of things that he was doing in Cleveland with the Indians. But I mean, like I said, as a baseball, you know, fan, I can see why he was a good manager. But as a Yankees fan, he stole some rings from us.
Did he steal them or did y'all give them away? It looked like y'all gave them away to me, but what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I think we definitely gave away 2003 or 2004. We definitely gave away 2004.
I was gonna say if you're dumb enough to keep pitching to the guy, then you get what you get.
Yeah.
The same thing I say about the Tigers when they kept pitching to Raul Ibanez. Like, I get it. You're not used to seeing this guy play like that, but you know what? He's literally killed you three games in a row. Why would you give him a fourth? Like, no. But I think Terry's a great guy. He had a chance to bring a championship to a team that, honestly, you could probably say didn't deserve it. But
that was a decent team, but they weren't. Yeah. I mean, when you really look at it, like, and I think that's another thing that he did really well is he used what he had. He knew what guys were good at. He didn't ask guys to do things they weren't good at, you know. And he used his entire roster, which is something that a lot of managers don't do. He used his bench. You know, he signed and he worked with the front office to get guys who were plug and play, did this one thing really, really well, and then used them in that situation.
Yeah, you could bet on him to maximize a roster for sure. And I would say the one thing that stands out to me is that he was able to be a part of history and then also be on the receiving end of having history made against him when the Cubs won the World Series as well. So that is a funny dynamic, because I think Theo was his general manager or president when he won in Boston. And then Theo was the one that beat him when he was with the Cubs. So, again, I just think that's a really interesting dynamic from a career standpoint. But if that is truly how he goes out this year, he will be missed. And, you know, he has my respect. So we will be back next week, hopefully, with a clearer picture of where teams are going, and probably try to focus on some of our hottest players and our coldest players to get back to that. Obviously, Garrett Cole will be a part of that discussion because he's just a cold player, and then he'll have another start within the next week for sure, where we could talk about maybe he might even skip a start the way he was pitching, but I expect the picture to be a little bit clearer. August is a funky month. Teams who usually make runs started in August, and you can kind of see. We've already seen some teams turn in the corner, but with the trades that have been made, I think the Red Sox, Rays, and the AL East will get a lot interesting as the season progresses. And then in the NL West, obviously Giants, Dodgers, kind of the same gap, will be interesting as well.
And I think there's going to be more deals to come. I mean, there's still another day or so left, like, in this, you know, before the deadline's up. And it's, I think, based on what we saw today with the Dodgers making these moves, I think other teams are going to be more willing to make some deals. more willing to give up prospects like the Padres, teams like the Padres, like the Red Sox, maybe the White Sox, you know, who want to win a World Series, are looking at what the Dodgers just did and saying, okay, well, that's the bar that they're setting. And they might be more willing to give up some prospects to get the guy that they want to make a deal for.
Yep. Trade deadline ends tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we do have another roughly 18, 19 hours of craziness. And then also I wanted to let everybody know, if they're listening, we have not forgotten about the Milwaukee Brewers, who have 60 wins. I'm not trying to disrespect them, but right now their division isn't as competitive as the NL West and the AL East. So I'm going to like sit on it a little. They've got the pitching that we're looking for, but those bats are so god awful. But
which is weird, because like 2 years ago, they didn't have the pitching.
Yeah.
And they had the bats. And then now you've got, I mean, three really good starters.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Yelich is playing like 2012 Christian Yelich again.
Yeah. And some of that is he just can't stay healthy. And then he gets back and now he's COVID positive. So we'll see if he can get a groove going. If he can get a groove going, even if it takes until September, but from September and October, with the pitching that they have, they could be a problem for some people, and not just pitching, but
good bullpen. Like they definitely could be a problem. Like I said, when you have the top three in your rotation like that, and then you've got Hader, Devin Williams in that bullpen, guys that throw real gas. Like if Yelich can find his groove, they could be a sneaky team in the NL.
Yeah, because I was gonna say they've also got really good defense too. Got to give them credit for that. But we will be back next week and try to cover all those things. Quick shout out. Be on the lookout for next Thursday. Will be the launch of the college football podcast. We will be back doing group of five, actually, and talking about some of the shakeup that's going on in college football. Obviously, we will be doing a weekly IBM podcast. You Got a Minute, Fam, with me and Ronnie. And then I will be launching a NFL podcast at some point, probably within the next like 3 weeks, right when training camps end and preseason begins. We're going to do a weekly NFL podcast as well. Make sure you guys check out Keith and Joe's podcast for fantasy football. And then make sure you check out the Team Turnbuckle podcast, which is quite entertaining as well. All right. So for the full count, I'm your host, IBS Yeezus. My co-host, Brian Malone. We appreciate you guys listening.